And welcome back, everybody. Thank you once again for tuning in to the JRSN podcast. Brian Montgomery here with a very special episode, as we are going to be featuring an interview with 2019 graduate and current Xavier baseball student athlete Jack Lynch. Jack, not only a standout for the Musketeers during his first year playing Division I baseball, but also has a fantastic history at Jesuit, both on the diamond and as one of the broadcasters for our network during his time in Dallas. So without further ado, we are glad to bring in this interview with Jack Lynch right here on the JRSN podcast. And welcome back into the JRSN podcast. Brian Montgomery here, and I'm so glad to be joined by a voice that a lot of Ranger fans are going to recognize, because not only was he a stellar student athlete for the Rangers on the baseball team, he was also the voice of Jesuit Dallas basketball during the time that he was at Jesuit. 2019 Jesuit alum Jack Lynch, currently completing his freshman year at Xavier University. Jack, thank you so much for taking time and joining us here on the JRSN podcast.
Yeah, great to be here.
Man, it's crazy because it's, you know, you're about a year ago right now, we were wrapping up your senior year, and you were getting ready to go walk across the stage at SMU McFarland Auditorium and celebrate your graduation. And it's been a crazy year, to say the least. And I think the first thing I want to make sure and check in with you and see how you're doing. I know it's been probably about a month or two, if not longer, since you've been back in Dallas, and just talk about how that shift has been for you, kind of going from an in-season mode to all of a sudden being back home and kind of having the rest of the semester change so drastically.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of a couple months. We were in California, and then 2 days later, I was back in Dallas. So it was pretty crazy that the season came to an end that quickly. Definitely did not expect that. We were on our spring break trip in California, as I said, and all of a sudden, we had played USC on a Wednesday night, and in the middle of the game, we had heard that the NBA had canceled suspended their season. And everyone's faces, like, we all kind of knew that it was going to get bad. But no one, like, wanted to say it. And then the next day, Coach O'Connor, who's our head coach, broke the news to us. And it was crushing because it wasn't the way we wanted the season to end. Because we had been started to play good baseball. Just had beaten Long Beach State. And everything was kind of turning around for us. And then had to transition coming back home. And you know, it's been nice being back home. I've been able to work out a lot. Built a gym in my garage with the Moeller brothers. I think everyone knows who Chris and Kyle are. And it's been fun to be home, but wish I was back in Cincinnati on the diamond.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the stats and everything that went into that, and you're mentioning that California trip, and I think it's one thing to mention for sure that the Long Beach State team that you guys played over a 3-day span, they were ranked 17th in the nation. And you made a really nice splash early on in your career. You picked up Big East Player of the Week honors. You threw 7 1/3 scoreless innings, 7 strikeouts, 4 hits, and 2 walks. And a lot of that came in the final game of that series. It was a 2-1 win for Xavier. Just talk to us about that game. I mean, that was really kind of like your big coming out party. You really had a fantastic outing against a nationally ranked team.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had played, it was the Sunday game, so it was game 3, and we had lost the first 2, so they had the series already, and we had a talk the night before that, yeah, they were ranked, I think we fell into the trap of they were ranked number 17 in the country, and we had kind of given them 2 games, and I think as a team and our coaching staff told us that it was time to really step up and, like, have a day that we would remember for a while. And, you know, beating a team like that, they're incredibly talented, great hitters top to bottom. And, you know, we honestly, it was probably one of the crazier games that I've ever played in. I remember I came out of the game in the 10th, and I just let up a base hit into left. I came out, and 2 pitches later, the kid that came in, Jonathan Kelly, he picked the guy off first. And that just doesn't really happen very often. And it was a huge turn of intensity, and it was awesome for us to be able to win a game like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, we probably couldn't, have written it up better to beat a team that way. We beat them in 11 innings, and it was a perfect way to end a weekend. And it was just an awesome game.
And just a quick recap of your stat line in that game specifically, 5 innings pitched, only 2 hits. You kept zeros on the scoreboard, 4 strikeouts. And I mean, for a freshman coming into a situation like that on the road against a team that, you know, you mentioned they're a very talented team. You know, it's so funny when you look at that whole situation and you look back at it now and you're like, oh yeah, that was awesome. But I mean, on March 8th, when you got the call that you were going in, I mean, that's your 5th career appearance in a college baseball game. Kind of what was going through your mindset at that point, especially in the situation, knowing that, you know, it's a close game, I can be out there for a while.
Yeah, you know, I had been like a 1 or 2 inning guy up to that moment. And I remember it was a fresh inning, and we're probably going to talk about this later, but I'm not used to coming out of the bullpen. It's something that I haven't really done in a long time. And I think that was a big thing starting off the year that I kind of struggled with, to be completely honest. And it was the first time that I had gotten a fresh inning. And like running out to the mound, I was kind of like, all right, just take it like you're starting a game, like it's the first inning. And I mean, from then on, I kind of just rode the wave of emotions. I mean, the first inning wasn't clean, let up a double. But I know as soon as I got out of the first inning, I kind of knew there's certain days when you know it's going to go well. And it was one of those days that it was kind of like, yeah, they're going to have a hard time hitting me today.
Yeah. And we may as well just go right into it and talk a little more about how, and start to talk about how your game has changed going from what you did at Jesuit to what you are doing now at the college level. And I mean, from the mindset of a pitcher, someone who was normally like the big game starter for Jesuit, especially during his senior year, how different is it to come into the middle of an inning with runners on base, not having a fresh start to it? How does that change the makeup of what you're going to do when it's time for your first pitch?
People listening to this probably wouldn't understand it as much as a pitcher, but it's very foreign because you have a routine as a starter before games. I used to start 50 minutes before games, stretch, throw, drink some water, throw in the bullpen. And it's kind of like completely different because when your name gets called, you have to be ready in 5 or 6 minutes. And if you're not, then they're going to go to someone else. I mean, Coach Furlong and our pitching coach, we worked really hard on, especially in the lead up into the start of the season, was getting myself a routine where I can do all the stuff that I used to do as a starter before the game and still feel ready when I come in the 7th inning or the 6th inning or the 5th inning. It all just kind of depends on when I go into the game, but it's more being a reliever, I think that it's more of an adrenaline thing. And being a starter, it's more, you got to control your emotions, innings 1 through 4, and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like those are all innings where you just got to give everything you got to get through them. But yeah, it was a good adjustment for me, to be completely honest. And I know in the future, I'll definitely go back to starting, but being a reliever is something that I feel everyone has to do. And I've really enjoyed it. I might like it more than starting. I'm not sure because the season was cut short. I can't really answer that. But at the same time, I've been really happy with how my transition from a starter to a reliever has gone.
And I think one thing that people don't realize too is, you know, when you're a starter, you're putting so many innings in, right? And it's so consistent. Yeah. Like I'm looking at your career at Jesuit. In your junior year, you had over both years, you had over 50 innings pitched. And so you go from a spot where you really have a routine and you have a schedule and you're always loose and you have that ability because you know you're going to be going out there for X amount of innings. But I mean, there's times in the college in the relief game, where you don't really know what your situation is going to be or how many innings you're going to have at any given time. And, you know, I think about the contrast that you have from being a high school pitcher where not only are you throwing during the school year when you're playing for Jesuit, but you also have that time when you're not at Jesuit and you're playing for select teams or you're playing for teams that aren't school affiliated, because you're trying to get the attention of these colleges and you're trying to get yourself to the next level. So for you going into this freshman year, how has that changed? Because I feel that you can definitely keep yourself loose and keep yourself in game ready shape because you're playing more often at the amateur level, but now at the collegiate level, that changes on a drastic scale.
Exactly. And that's what kind of was a transition for me. That was the biggest thing is every Friday night, my senior year, I stepped out on the mound and I knew, okay, these seven innings are your seven innings. Like, no one else should be coming into this game. And I didn't get to finish as many games as I wanted to because my pitch count got up quickly because I threw a lot of pitches in high school. But I know going into Xavier, you were talking about the summer ball side of things, and I know my innings were reaching 100, maybe 110. And as a 17, 18-year-old, that's a lot of stress on your arm. And it's definitely something that has helped me a lot is – short inning segments. It's saving my arm. I'm being a lot more healthy. And at the same time, like with how important games are in college, whether it's from your RPI or you're playing conference games and you're trying to make the conference tournament and you're trying to win the conference tournament and go to a regional, like it's a lot different because there are high school baseball games that, let's be completely honest, they don't matter as much. And in college, every time you step out on the field, it is, you got to be ready to go all the time because every game matters.
And one thing I like to mention here too is like the fact that the UIL and the entire state of Texas, I think rightfully so, have instituted this pitch count does save a lot of arms because there's times, especially in late season situations, where, I mean, you want to make sure that your season continues and you want to make sure you put yourself in a position to win those games. And sometimes now it's a forcible change that is creating that difference between making sure that your starting pitcher is somebody who can go all the way. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you are protecting student athletes of your age to make sure that you guys are not going to have to undergo surgery when you're going into your freshman year in college. And so it's interesting for sure. And I know for you, really that dynamic changed during your time at high school. That was when the pitch count really started to become a big time factor. So when you taking you back to Jesuit, did that pitching count mandate change the way that you approached hitters? Like did it make you go a little more aggressive than you normally would if that was not the case?
Coach Gavin can definitely back me up on this, but I remember in the sixth and seventh innings, Coach Jones and Coach Gavin would come up to me and say, all right, it's time to stop wasting pitches. You can't throw an 0-2 fastball and bounce it or throw it above their eyes to get their eye level up. Like there's no more of that. That's what it completely changes the way you throw. Because you plan hitters before the game. Coach Gavin does a great job with scouting and scouting reports. But at the same time, like once you get your pitch count up, you can't bring it back down, obviously. So you have to be incredibly efficient late in games. And that comes with having your legs in shape. It comes with having your arm in shape. And it's really important that you're always on top of things because you can't be getting behind in counts, because as soon as you're getting behind in counts in high school, you're throwing more pitches. And that's something that you see a lot in college is waste pitches are a bigger thing. Changing eye levels, throwing it in quadrants where they're not going to be looking. It's something that completely changes the game. And, you know, the UIL, they did do a really good job. There were some teams I remember in 2016, it was really unsafe about the amount of pitches kids were throwing. And it's honestly, it was a good thing that they did it, but yeah, it definitely did change the way that I threw the ball my senior year and junior year.
The position of pitcher has always fascinated me because there are so many things that from a mental point of the game, you have to take into account. And I think you just mentioned a handful of them right there, speaking about eye level and quadrants and what type of pitch you still have to be able to throw and to apply properly. And it's just, and that's just the mental side. You still have to get the ball across the plate. You still have to get the ball to where it's supposed to go. And is that what really appealed to you from the outset when you decided that you wanted to be a pitcher? Was it the fact that you were kind of the driving force of that little chess game between the pitcher and batter?
Yeah, I think that the battle between you and another person, like on another team, like obviously losing it isn't fun, but when you like strike a guy out or get him to pop out or get him to ground out, like that's incredibly rewarding. And it's something that really appealed to me from a young age. I always remember until my senior year of high school, I didn't really become a good hitter because I didn't understand hitting. And the reason I started understanding hitting is because I started to understand pitching. And I think that pitching appeals to me so much because, one, I feel like I'm pretty good at it. And two, I know that watching different baseball games and watching like Major League Baseball, you can tell what guys are trying to do. And when they do it, it's awesome to see and it's awesome to try and replicate.
And welcome back into the JRSN podcast. Brian Montgomery here with Jack Lynch, 2019 graduate of Jesuit and also a freshman at Xavier University. And Jack, one thing I've always been curious about, you look at the pitchers that have really defined this era. You have Clayton Kershaw, Justin Verlander, just to start. And I've always wondered, when you're looking at these major league arms, who do you really look for as somebody who inspires your game? Like, if you had to model a major league arm, who would it be?
Obviously, I want to say it's like Clayton Kershaw, but no one's ever going to be able to do what he's done. But when I look at like another left-handed pitcher, it's definitely Kershaw. Like, he is the perfect model for every person of how baseball should work. Yeah, he does some funky stuff, but at the end of the day, the way he throws the ball, how precise he is with everything he does, it's really impressive and it's fun to watch. But another guy that I really like looking at is Marcus Stroman. He's all about being competitive. And at the end of the day, I think that competitiveness is the most important thing on the mound. Whether it's throwing a competitive pitch or just being a competitive person on the mound, it's incredibly important to be competitive, and Marcus Stroman does a really good job of that. He's a good person to look at.
Well, Jack, one thing that I think makes you a very unique arm, especially for, you look at the history of Jesuit baseball and some of the most successful pitchers that the Rangers have had over the last few years, they all have one major thing in common. You're all southpaws, you're all lefties. And so I'm always interested to talk about, from a high school perspective, I mean, do you kind of go into the game knowing that they're obviously, the talent at high school is far different than what it is at the college level, but at the same time, did you feel like you had an advantage in your pocket going into the game, knowing that you're a left-handed pitcher, and for some batters, they just simply don't know how to handle that situation?
Yeah, I definitely did. Being left-handed is a gift. Like, it's something that God gifted me with, and I'm incredibly happy that I am left-handed because it makes you so much more valuable. But at the end of the day, like, all the other guys that have been successful for their own reasons. Kyle, the dude's a freak. He throws the baseball almost 100 miles an hour. Like, no one's going to hit that in high school. Jacob has one of the best sliders I've ever seen, and Tyler has a Clayton Kershaw-ish curveball. And honestly, my thing was my two-seam fastball. It runs a bunch, and it moves all over the place. And at the end of the day, like, that's something that I took advantage of. I would start balls down the middle of the plate and let them run to the outside part of the plate, and people just had a really hard time hitting that. So I feel that I mentioned all those names, and those guys who are, Jacob is going to play professional baseball. Tyler, he'll play professional baseball, hopefully. And I hope to play professional baseball. All of us have been successful for different reasons. And, you know, it's really cool to look back at the past and just see how, like, important being left-handed is.
Yeah, some of the names you mentioned, of course, Kyle Muller, who is currently working his way through the Atlanta Braves minor league system. Jacob Polish just wrapped up Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe his junior year at Stanford, and Tyler Murrah just having his first full season at Pepperdine University. So not only are all of those arms guys that were able to find drastic success at the high school level, they all moved on to play at Division I or higher and have just all had incredible careers. It's been a lot of fun to watch them continue their baseball careers at that level. And looking back at your time at Jesuit, Jack, and it's one thing to see what you've been able to do on the mound, but you also had a really successful career at the plate, notably last year, 3 home runs. You were able to really take control of the plate. You also played some games at first base. And how much of a change has that been for you as somebody who used to not only be on the mound, but you also had to kind of flex your fielding muscles at first base and also be aware of what you're doing at the plate, to have a go from that at Jesuit to now not really having any of that outside of what you're doing on the mound at the college level? How's that really changed how you approach your conditioning and getting yourself ready for the season?
Yeah, I feel that it's been an adjustment for me just from – I would go from throwing with the pitchers at Jesuit practice to hitting and working on infield stuff. But I really do enjoy just pitching. Pitching is something that I know that's the best thing I do in baseball. I've known that for a long time. I'm a better pitcher than I am a hitter. But, you know, I think the way my senior year ended, the way I hit it in the playoffs, hit towards the end of the year, it was a perfect way to wrap up like my hitting career. But at the same time, I miss it. I love hitting. Hitting is such a fun thing. It's such a rewarding thing. And at the end of the day, it's nice to have hitting, but it's something that pitching is something that I'll never be able to replace.
I know. It's so funny, too, because now I'm looking back and I'm, you know, being in the shelter-in-place situation, I go back and I think about some of my favorite moments over the last few years. And I go back to last year thinking about the last day of the season. And I'm driving from the La Crosse State semifinal, and I'm trying to get from Rompo Stadium to McKinney North High School so I can cover the rest of our game against Rockwall. And I'm listening to the Rockwall broadcast. And when you hit your home run in that game, they just almost went silent. And I almost drove off the side of the road because I was so pumped that you were really having that kind of a game. And it's so crazy because you look and we talk about Kyle and we talk about what he does on the mound. And the more time he spends at the minor league level, you forget almost how he was an absolute monster at the plate his senior season. And I mean, we think back to the walk-off Rockwall home run that he had in the Jesuit Dallas Baseball Classic. I think about the home run he hit against North Mesquite in the first round of the playoffs that landed in another guy's front yard. And it's one of those situations where you look at a player like that, and I think that's one thing that you have at the high school level that's so enjoyable is you have the chance to really make impact and have those memories both at the plate and on the mound.
Yeah, it's awesome. I can't wait to see Kyle hit professionally. When he makes it to the major leagues, it's going to be – Braves fans are in for something because he still hits. Like, he still works on that stuff, and he's passionate about hitting still. And it's impressive. His senior year is still one for the history books. I've never seen anything like that. But, you know, he's an impressive athlete, and he can really swing it as well.
And so, Jack, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, it's hard to believe, but we're coming up on 5 years since the Rangers' 2016 state championship. They picked up with a big win against San Antonio Johnson on June 11th. And you were a member of that as a rising freshman, called up from JV, and you were able to enjoy the entire postseason run. And just talk about that for you, what that was like to be able to really sit front row and see this unbelievable run from start to finish.
Yeah, it was honestly one of the crazier runs I've ever seen. We went to so many – I don't even remember the number, but there were so many game threes. There were so many different things that could have set us back, and they didn't. I feel that the leadership on that team was so impressive. And one thing that I'll always cherish was getting to do that with my brother. obviously Connor was part of that team, played third base. And it was really fun to have him be able to play third, get to watch him. And Kyle's another big brother to me, and it was awesome to see his success, see his draft night. And that run is just something that I'll cherish forever.
Yeah, speaking about that 2016 and what that was like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, I think that we were able to watch Kyle's draft night. Was that the day before the state semifinal?
Yeah, he got drafted the night before he was going to throw in the state semi.
Yeah, and then he went out and threw a complete game, and then just
complete game shutout. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I'm looking right now just at the whole schedule and everything that went into that series. I mean, it was a game three against Belton, game three against Highland Park, game three against Oak Ridge. The Rangers were trailing Atascocita in the first of a three-game series, got rained out, made a switch to a one-game playoff. It's just everything you said is spot on. It was constant anxiety, I think, if we had to put a byline on that 2016 run. Just to be able to experience that was great. And it was a lot of fun to really see to watch you grow and continue to see how Jesuit has improved throughout the years. And really what's so wild about it is the entire state has been matching Jesuit and what they were able to do in 2016 at the level they played with the bats that they had, and the arms they had. We saw that really continue to develop year by year. And it just seems that Texas high school baseball only keeps getting better every season that the Rangers step on the field and have to compete.
Yeah, it's the district that we went through last year is high level baseball. There were some serious athletes, some seriously good baseball players in that district. And Texas high school baseball is, I tell people about it at Xavier, and sometimes I don't think they believe me of just how good it is. But it is pretty close to college baseball, the district that Jesuit plays in. There are a bunch of college athletes, college baseball commits on the field that Jesuit plays in. And it's been, that district definitely made me a better baseball player. I can assure you that.
Yeah, and really, I didn't say the last two alignments because the Richardson ISD teams are fantastic. And then you go into this last year playing Allen Prosper, and Prosper's baseball program is probably one of the fastest rising ones in the state, and they've only gotten better every year. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen when the Rangers head into their 2020-2022 alignment featuring the Richardson and Irving schools. I know we've had experience with both of those, but really Richardson's no joke. I'm looking forward to some of those matchups, especially the Pierce series, because those always seem to be entertaining.
JJ Pierce is always they're always good. Always play us well. And, you know, it's really interesting to see how badly teams want to beat Jesuit. Like you will get everyone's best shot all the time because it's a serious baseball program at Jesuit. It's widely known. And, you know, 2016 put it on the map. But when you have guys that have come through like Kyle Mueller and Josh Bell, like, your program is going to get known throughout the state, and it's definitely done that.
And once again, Jack Lynch, 2019 graduate, current Xavier University freshman. And Jack, we'll change gears and step aside from what you did on the baseball diamond, and we'll actually talk about what you did on the microphone, because not only, as we mentioned at the beginning of our interview, not only were you a student athlete at Jesuit, you were also the voice of the Rangers for our basketball team, I believe all 4 years, or at least definitely 3 years for sure. But I think you hopped on for a little bit during your brother's senior year. And it's so funny because obviously you and I have that relationship because I was the one that had to yell at you all the time. But, you know, it's looking at the run that you had, not only in baseball, but also on the mic. I mean, you were front row for that too. Some of the coolest moments in Jesuit basketball history.
Yeah, Julius Marble, Max A. Smith, Anthony Hollerick, they made our senior year. Those Friday nights at home, like, you will not – there were kids in that student section. They will never forget those basketball games because of those dudes. And it was really special to get to do. Connor was the one that introduced me to it, and it was like, really fun to be able to see how he did it because he was good at it as well. And it's probably something that he could do in the near future. But at the end of the day, calling those games. It was absolutely awesome. I did it sophomore, junior, and senior year. And it's definitely a hobby of mine, and it's something that I really enjoy because basketball is such a passion of mine. I'm not good at it. Like, it's not, I can't play at a high school level, but being able to talk about basketball and give my knowledge and what I think about the game is, it's always fun for me.
If you had to really lock down some of your favorite games that, that you were there to witness, I think that, you know, when I think about the last few seasons at Jesuit, I think about the Decaney game in 2017. I think about the home game against Allen 2019. I think about even like the Woodlands game back in 2016 in the playoffs. And there's just, there have been so many really cool, unique moments. But you have that really unique perspective as a broadcaster, but also, you know, I'm an outside guy from upstate New York, and I didn't go to Jesuit. So you have that experience of being the broadcaster, but also the guy that is a member of the class with the guys that are on the court. So what if you had to really hammer down some of your favorite games, just tell me about some of those.
Yeah. There's two of them that are on the top of my head right now. And it was definitely the home game against Allen on that Friday night. That is, besides the Highland Park series in 2016, that is probably one of the crazier high school sporting atmospheres I've ever been in. Because I remember the line to get into the game was like, they were turning people away an hour and 30 minutes before the game. And it was probably for those JV players that were playing the game before, it was probably awesome for them as well. But I just remember talking at school, like, how early my friends were going to have to get there to get into the game. And it was so cool to get to call and so cool to get to be a part of. But at the same time, both playoff runs, 2017, 2018, they were both crazy. And even though we lost the South Garland game this past year, that was flat out just incredible basketball. Like, that was just a great game, and South Garland ended up winning, ended up beating us. But at the same time, like, getting to see my friends play at that high of a level. Heck, Tom Izzo was in the crowd, like, watching the game. And, you know, like, it's big-time basketball when he's there. And getting to see Julius, Max, Anthony, Connor, playing against Tyrese Maxey, he's going to be a lottery pick. You know, there's not anything that can really replace that. And it's a really special memory for me.
Awesome. Well, I think there's no better way to wrap it up than just to mention that, Jack. And thank you so much for taking time today to just to sit down and check in with the Ranger fans. I know that you obviously made a massive impact during your time at Jesuit, and it's great to hear that you're finding success at the Division I level. And even though the season was cut short, we're looking forward to seeing your career with the Musketeers continue, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Once again, Jack Lynch, 2019 grad, recently wrapped up his freshman year at Xavier University. Be sure to keep an eye on Jack as he's going to continue his strong start at Xavier heading into the 2021 baseball season. You're listening to the JRSN Podcast. And that'll do it for the JRSN Podcast this week. Next week, we will be back with the continuation of the 2019-20 athletic recap. Liam McColgan, Nash Crawford will bring you the recap of the winter season. Until then, thanks for tuning in once again. Brian Montgomery signing off another episode of the JRSN Podcast.